I believe we are even jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
I don't know where I put my glasses. I don't know where they are. It was one of those situations yesterday. I put my glasses down right where I knew they would be. You ever do that? I think if I put my glasses right here, I'll know where they are when I come back and get them. And then I couldn't remember where that spot was. I've looked everywhere for my favorite pair of dollar store glasses. That's what they cost me. Actually, it wasn't dollar store. It's Dollar General. You can go into Dollar General, you can get glasses for a dollar. For righteousness' sake, which is, by the way, what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, you didn't even know that, did you? That's the kingdom of God. That's in Romans. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, that tells you that you're operating in kingdom principle, standing on truth, on righteousness. Okay, you with me? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then blessed are you when men shall revile you. Talking to the same guys about the same situation. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for me, on account of me, he says, for my sake. Says if you're just getting persecuted just for other stuff, somebody doesn't like you, you're too good a golfer, you cheated and on horseshoes or something like that. They said, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you're persecuted for me, remember, he is the truth, right? So whenever you speak the name of Jesus, you're speaking the truth. And whenever you're speaking the truth, you're exemplifying Jesus. Guys, this isn't hard stuff to figure out. We don't have the right perspective on who Jesus is. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you false for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the prophets which are before you, you are the salt of the earth. Watch this. But if the salt hath lost his savor, folks, salt is not a he. Salt is an inanimate substance. It's an it. Salt is an it. This should read, but you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, but it doesn't say that. It says if the salt has lost his savor. Why? Because he just told us you are salt. He renamed you. You are salt. And if you lose your savor, Mr. Salt, then you're no good, man. How can you be salty again? It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. So our ministry, Pass the Salt, comes from this very scripture. That if you are not taking what you have, which is now you've been renamed salt, and you're not using salt to impact those around you, you have become a good-for-nothing Christian. Always had a dream. Maybe I ought to put it up and raise some money. Always had this dream I wanted to put in downtown Columbus, Ohio. I used to be on terrestrial radio here in Columbus on a big Christian radio station. They couldn't hardly handle the truth. They didn't like salt very well. They wanted sugar. So I was on there, but I don't know. I had a pretty good audience, I think, going for a while. I always wanted to put a big billboard in downtown Columbus, and I wanted to be me standing there pointing. You probably have all seen that picture on my website where I stand and point. And I always wanted to put a big billboard up there that says, Jesus said Christians were good for nothing. I always wanted to put a big billboard up there that says, Jesus said
good for nothing.
And then at the bottom it says, what do you say? Coach Dave Live. Maybe I ought to put one of those back up. Come in here real quick. This is my other granddaughter stayed with us last night. Reese's here. Reese waved to everybody. Let everybody see you out there. Say, Coach, you're always bringing your... These are it, man. This is the future. Here's why I fight. This is little Reese. How old are you, Reese?
Six.
She's six. I remember when she started in here, she was about four. So things are going very, very quickly. I'm moving on here. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing, except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. That's why we're past the salt ministries here. Okay? And all we're trying to do is to do our very, very best to try to get the rest of you to understand that that's what we're supposed to be. If you're not being salt, if you're not impacting the culture, we're good for nothing. Boy, she came in and she run my lights around her, everything's all messed up. You with me today, guys? So here's I wrote a commentary today. I don't know if I'm going to get to it today. I call it the denigration of womanhood, motherhood, the denigration of motherhood, posted at newswithyous.com. I've already emailed it to some of you. I may get in to read a little bit of that stuff. I want to talk again today. I haven't done it in quite a while because I think it's really important that we double back and talk about one good question. Thank you, Lord. Good question. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Because if you were watching yesterday, we showed that video from that church in Oklahoma. I think it's called Life Church or something like that, as opposed to Death Church. I guess that's really the subtle inference they're making. There's life at their church, but there's death at most other churches. And Life Church is growing so big that they have several different campuses. George, you're out there in the Oklahoma area. Fill us in, George. I'm not trying to bang on Life Church. I'm talking about the gospel, okay? George, explain to us how Life Church works. Because we heard them yesterday, they talk about their campuses. And isn't it interesting, the modern church, you walk into most modern churches, they don't have an altar. As we heard yesterday, the girl said, we're not going to speak about that from the stage. They don't call it an altar, they call it a stage. Give us a little background there, George, on Life Church there in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's based in Oklahoma. So the main campus that the pastor, Craig Rochelle, he speaks at is in Edmond, Oklahoma. Then there's multiple campuses all over the state. And these are good-sized churches, multi-million dollar buildings that they built. They have, each church has a campus pastor, but the message that Craig does goes over a video screen during the Sunday morning service. They have the full-blown coffee bar and, you know, all the amenities that people bring into the church. And, you know, you're basically just hearing a very light, soft message. Usually there's a series that's done on something, and it's just kind of your typical big mega church kind of.
How many campuses do you think there are, George?
Man, I've heard, I don't know for certain, but I've heard there's over 30,000-40,000 people that attend the campuses.
So on a Sunday morning, they go to different campuses, different churches, different campuses, and then through some type of satellite feed or Skype or whatever, or what we're using here, the sermon is then presented to all the people by the pastor on the screen. Am I understanding that right, George?
Exactly. Yeah, they do everything else like a normal church, except the campus pastor, he'll lead the service. But when it's time for Craig to get up, he'll announce Craig. Craig will come on the screen, and when he's done, he'll get off, and the pastor will close the service, sometimes with a, you know, hey, if, you know, a light type of altar call.
Okay, so folks, here's where I'm trying to go. Thanks, George. And we're not trying to. What is the gospel? See, that's what is the gospel? Because until we can nail that down, those of us who are serious about our faith, not that other people aren't. That didn't sound very good. I think most people are serious about the faith to the degree which they're able to express it. But most of us we've not been weaned from our pastor. Certainly, we haven't been weaned from our churches. For most of us, all the Christianity that we practice is done inside the four walls of the church. And what we try to do here at Pass the Salt Ministries is to get you out of the church. You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the world, light of the world, not the salt of the church, not the salt of the building. That you take your light and you set it up on a hill where it gives light to all the world, and people see it and they're drawn to it. That's what Christians are supposed to do. But see, we've lost total and complete understanding of that, to where the gospel has become, for the most part, personalized. It's about you and your family and your struggles. And praise the Lord, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. When there's trouble in my life, I turn to Jesus. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I agree with all of that. When we get into financial trouble, I pray that the Lord would deliver us out of it. When I get sick, I pray that the Lord would heal us. When we go someplace, I pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would put a hedge of protection around. I believe in all that stuff, all of it. But see, folks, we're talking about the full counsel of God here. We're not talking just about a very small area of the gospel. And for the most of us, that's where we're living our lives. So one of the things that makes people uncomfortable, did I do that, Lord? Yes, I will do that. Jared, go to Matthew chapter 3, I think it is. Folks, I've done this before. I've done this a bit of this teaching before, but I think it's just, guys, if you will, bear with me here a second. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I want you to see something here.
Hey, Coach, before you go to Matthew 3, something you've mentioned several times from Matthew 5 that I'm just prompted to bring up again, and you mentioned it this morning again, that this Matthew 5 there is Jesus specifically teaching talking to his disciples. The church calls this the Sermon on the Mount, and they think that it was presented to a multitude of people all down the valley and all downside the mountain and everything. But right. The word tells us it was his disciples that he was speaking to.
Verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain.
Good. Yeah, the word also tells us he taught them. This is not a sermon. This is a teaching.
Very good, Larry. Very good. And seeing the multitudes, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, he went up into the mountain. He saw the multitudes and he went up into the mountain. Got away from him. And when he was set, then his disciples came unto him. Do you see that, folks? We've been taught wrong about the Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't Jesus standing up on top of this mountain speaking to everybody that was there. No, he saw the crowd. He pulled away. He understood what a monumental task he had before him. And he pulled his disciples together and he did a little bit of teaching to them. It says they came to him and he opened his mouth and he taught them. Who did he teach? Those 12 guys that were there. That's who he taught. And he's teaching them this so that they can go teach others, okay? And it's interesting that, look at the very first thing he says to them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jared, let's go back to where I just said, Matthew chapter 3. Because there's something more to this that we're missing. And I believe it's the nut that holds the screw in place. I just believe it, man. And until we understand that, I'm not going to turn there, but you know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. By the way, it says in earth. Does anybody know where that is so we could look it up and I could prove it to you? In earth. Why? Because we're earthen vessels. We're earthen vessels, right? He formed man out of the dust of the earth. He breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, right? We're the earth. We are the earth. Jared's got it up there. He's trying to.
Matthew 6:10 on that.
Matthew 6:10. Can you go there, Jared? I'm sorry. Matthew 6:10. Watch, folks. Oh, I know you've never seen this. So that's why I'm going to show you here again. Don't do vain repetitions. Don't say our fathers and Hail Marys. Don't just say stuff over and over. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Boy, that's a powerful scripture, isn't it? Lord knows what you need before you even ask him. So he says, okay, boys, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray. Here's how I want you to pray, boys. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There it is, in earth, not on earth, in earth. Why? We're earthen vessels. We're his treasure. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on, this is so simple. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe people don't get this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, lead us not to temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom. It's a kingdom.
Isn't it great that Jesus tells people, seek ye first the kingdom. He starts off teaching us to pray by praying that the kingdom comes. Jesus is so consistent.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see this. So John the Baptist shows up on the scene. What does John the Baptist do? Well, Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He's not preaching in the church. He's preaching in the wilderness. And saying, do you think he's preaching to the animals? Is that what you think of when you think that John the Baptist is in the wilderness? He's out there preaching to the deer and the coon, the wabbits, silly wabbit. Is that what he's doing? No. He's preaching in the wilderness. In other words, to the people out there where the wild animals roam, where the people are. There's some wild things out there, right? And what does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. First of all, you're not hearing that at Life Church. But I can promise you that. And they don't have any idea what the kingdom of heaven is at Life Church. I promise you that. Jared, go to chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. Anybody can argue with me at any time. You just got to push that little button, and I'll see that you want to bark, and I'll let you bark. Matthew chapter 4.
I just want to say suffering succotash, since you were talking about the animal thing.
There you go, man. You silly wabbit. So verse 4, John the Baptist started preaching. What does he repeat? Preaches. He preaches, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Unbelievable. John goes to the wilderness, and Jesus goes to the wilderness. Ain't neither one of them going to the church. Wow. He went up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward with hunger. I bet he was. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones. I'm sorry, I want to get down again, Jared. I'm sorry. Go down to about verse 12, I think it is. My bad, boys and girls. My bad here. Keep going. There it is. I'm sorry. Let's get to verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region of shadow of, Jared, you moved that, you missed. Shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, boys, Jesus isn't talking about getting saved. That's the result of it. John the Baptist ain't trying to get people saved. They're out preaching the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is and all about. Go, Raj. Good morning.
Getting in the way of food drive.
What's that, getting away? The food drive? Yeah.
you're getting in the way of the food drive.
That's right. Messing up all the plans they have going on at church, right? Huh? Oh, my goodness. So, look, I want to show you something. Jared, click on mentioned in the Bible. That's some of the stuff I sent you. Guys, you're going to be blown away by this stuff. Golly. Lord, help us. Open our eyes, Lord, that we would see that Jesus, when he taught us to pray for a kingdom. And when John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born unto a woman, started preaching, he talked about a kingdom. And when Jesus preached his first sermon, he talked about a kingdom. He talked about a kingdom.
Coach?
Oh, yes.
Going back a little bit, mentioned a coffee bar in a church. I came out of a Roman Catholic where it was an altar, and I had not stepped foot into another church. Tell me that's sarcasm, please, that this stuff is out there.
I wish it was, dear. It isn't. Because why? We don't know what the gospel is, see?
We're in worse shape. I said we're in worse shape than I even anticipated.
We're in horrible shape. Horrible shape. Okay, guys, I found this at, I just Google it. I'm going to read it off of this one, Jared, because I've got the people on the side here. They're blocking. It's not their fault. I got the cue here, and I can't cut him away. It says the thought of a kingdom is very prominent in the Bible. Over and over it's mentioned. The expression of the kingdom of God is used 68 times in the New Testament. Raise your hand if you knew that. The kingdom of God is mentioned 68 times in the New Testament. The gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom. Do you understand this? Do you understand the significance of this? The expression, the kingdom of Christ, I'm sorry, the expression of the kingdom of heaven is used another 31 times. My goodness. And the expression, the kingdom of Christ, is used once. They seem to be used interchangeably. The point is that it was a major point to Jesus and his apostles and should be one we should all be well versed about. Yet there seems to be some confusion and even disinterest among much of the Christian community. It was not a confusing issue to Jesus. In Matthew 6:33, as Larry just told us, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And he said in Mark 1:14, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not getting saved, not having money. Oh my, not going to Guatemala. Preach to people a kingdom and kingdom principles. It's an important issue to Paul. In Acts 28:30 and 31, it is said of him while at Rome that Paul dwelt, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, with no man forbidding him. Preaching the kingdom of God? What are they talking about? I'm just reading what this guy wrote. Ask someone that, and they may mention Luke 17:20-21. Here Jesus says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here it is there, or there it's there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in earth. It's within you. Isn't that what it says? Sorry, DL. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. I lost myself. What does he mean? See, many people look at that and say he must mean that the kingdom of God is not an actual kingdom as we know it, but must be some mystical thing that we don't understand. This is probably one of the most confusing statements about the kingdom, and I want to spend a little time with it. First, Jesus is here speaking to Pharisees, whom he has repeatedly chastised. Surely he's not saying here that the God's kingdom, whatever it is part of them. In the margin of some Bibles, it says, among you, as a replacement for within you. Do you understand that? The kingdom of God is among some people because it's not within them. But if it's in me, and I go into a group of people that are not saved, the kingdom of God is among them. Come on! Oh, my goodness. This seems to be a much better translation. But it then is saying that Jesus is the kingdom of God and we have yet to find, yada, 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 yada. We go on and on and on and on and on. Guys, it's a kingdom. It's a kingdom. Christianity isn't a religion. It's more than a relationship with Jesus. It's more than knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. The kingdom of God is the full counsel of God. Just ask ourselves a very simple question here. What's a kingdom? Jared, Google that. What's a kingdom? Let's quit being so daggone spiritual about everything. Why can't we just allow words to mean what they mean?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Pastor Charles Jennings, he has taught me, and I know you've heard this, that to have a true kingdom, you have to have five things. You have to have laws, land, people, a king, and a throne. That makes up a true kingdom.
Wow. Thanks, George. We'll get Pastor Charles back on there. The definition of a kingdom. Here it is, folks. Listen, listen. Quit being confused with all the doublespeak in church. Quit being confused. This is not hard. When you receive Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God comes and dwells on the inside of you. We just read where Jesus said it doesn't come with observation. You can't see it. It's an invisible kingdom. It says in Romans that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is to dwell inside a believer. Now, what's a kingdom? Well, according to this, it's a politically organized community or major territorial unit having a monarchical form of government headed by a king or queen. Time out. You ever heard of guys saying, telling everybody he was king of the kings and the lord of the lords? Did anybody ever hear anybody? Hey! How can you be a king not have a kingdom? Or how can there be a kingdom and not have a king? Because kingdom comes from the word dominion of the king. King dominion. Dominion meaning all power and strength and authority. A king dominion. So when Jesus came preaching the gospel of the king dominion, he says, dudes, I'm the king. I'm making the rules. And if everybody follows these rules, there will be peace on earth, goodwill towards men. It is good news. He is a benevolent dictator. Man, this is great stuff, isn't it? When's the last time you heard this ever preached in a church? Ever. Ever. Say, Coach, you must have special revelation. No, I can read. I can think. So often capitalized, eternal kingship of God. But hey, you guys, do you understand something? We are reading a secular Merriam-Webster dictionary, and they said, the first thing they said is the eternal kingship of God. Now, do we believe that or do we not? Is Jesus Christ king or is he not king? It also says the kingdom is the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. This is a secular dictionary. Number three says a realm or region in which something is dominant. Hey, is there any area of the world, any avenue, any crevice, any department, any area that Jesus Christ is not king over? Oh. He might be king over without being king of. You missed that. That was pretty good. He's king over all. He may not be king of it. I mean, they may have thrown him out, but he's king over it. They may not be acknowledging him. Boy, B, how about this? An area or sphere in which one holds a preeminent position. Four, one of the three primary division into which natural objects are commonly classified. Animal kingdom, mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, all under the kingdom of God. Oh, man. Somebody jump in here. Say, Coach, oh, my goodness, Coach, I've never seen this before. Come on, fess up. Fess up.
Hallelujah, brother.
Excellent.
Preach it.
Say, Coach, you are setting me free here today. You set me free. The churches don't even know there's a kingdom, man. They don't even know it. Go ahead, Dale.
He is the king of all. That is a great word. I just preached on that this Sunday, the fact that Jesus, everything in the kingdom, which is includes the encompasses of the earth, because he's the king of the cosmos. Everything obeys him. Everything obeys him, but man's heart rebels him. There is the problem.
Amen,
that's the problem, brother.
hey, Dale, storms obey him, yes, right? The changing of the seasons obey him. The grass obeys him. The trees obey him. The animals obey him. Everybody obeys him except us. And then we don't even teach it, see? We don't even teach him. He is the top of the kingdom. We're underneath him in the kingdom. And we act like we ain't got any authority at all. Oh, we're the churches. The devil let us go. Oh, the devil's just killing us. Really?
Think about it. In Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image. And here's the second part, our likeness.
Amen, brother.
We want to be the king. That's what Satan was. I want to be the king.
He wants us to be the
good
king.
Good preaching.
He wants
us to sit back and listen, brother.
He's on top, and he wants us to be his emissaries. He wants us to be his disciples. He wants us to be the ones who advance his kingdom. His kingdom is already coming. It's in earth, and we're waiting for it. We're waiting to go to heaven. Brothers, I'm dwelling there. I dwell there. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, Roger. I heard you try to break in there.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, not okay, but we can hear you. You broke up just a tad.
Last 17 years, Southern Baptist Church, regular attendee, never heard the word kingdom preached at all.
Amazing. Why do you think that is?
Okay, one thing, it take more than 1 hour on a Sunday to preach it.
It would. But see, Roger, it would take longer than that for the people to receive it because they are so dead in their thoughts that they think of the great by and by. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God is within you. Remember when Jesus was standing, when he'd been on the earth 40 days after his resurrection? He's standing there, and finally he tells them, hey, boys, I got to go. I'm out of here. They said, no, don't go, man. Please don't go. We need you. And he said, no. It's expedient that I go away. He said, I got to go away. Because if I go away, oh, there's a comforter that's coming. There's another one coming, baby. And instead of him just being here with you, he's going to be in you. Why do you think Jesus said when he told us to go ye into all the world, he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Why? He's in you. The kingdom is in you. Hey, guys, and the only thing they can do to you is kill you, and they can't even do that because you're already dead. You've already been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That spirit of Christ dwelling inside of you is the kingdom of God. And all authority has been given unto us both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. What it says, it's a great commission and the great commandment. Oh, man. Say, Coach, you're kicking butt here today. I know I am, man. I know I am. It's truth. It's not hidden. This stuff isn't hidden. Can you read? 68 times. What's the word gospel mean? Does anybody know what the word gospel means? Somebody does. Come on. What's that?
Good news.
Good news. So boys and girls, the gospel, to say somebody, did you share the gospel with them? You should say, huh? Huh? Did you share the good news with them? What good news? Huh? What good news? Did you share the gospel of how to be rich? Did you share the gospel of how to be healthy? Did you share the gospel of how not to worry? No. No, I didn't do any of that. I shared with them the gospel of the kingdom. And when I shared with them the gospel of the kingdom, all these other things are added unto them. But we want to go out and we want to specialize the gospel that we give them. The get rich gospel, the be happy gospel, the be healthy gospel, the be wealthy gospel, all these other versions. And Jesus himself warned us that they're going to come and they're going to be preaching another gospel. gospel. He said, just preach the gospel of the kingdom, because it's the one I taught you to pray for, that my Father's will would come, be done in earth, that it would come. Preach that gospel. And see, if we preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and dominion, all of this mess that's going on, we wouldn't have Nancy Pelosi in charge. We wouldn't have Mitch McConnell in charge. We'd have godly men in charge. If the church got the concept that all power has been given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. Doesn't it say that? Matthew 28. See if it says that, Jared. I don't want to be caught lying. Let me go there real quick. Hey, Coach, man, I'm preaching better than you're amening out there. I'm so sick of it.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
Matthew 20. You guys want to call him a liar? Hey, Larry, this is right up your alley. You want to call him a liar? You want to call Jesus a liar? Well, let's go here, Jared. Get us down into Matthew 28, 18, Jared. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, hey, boys, all power is given unto me in heaven. And there's that word again, in earth. Not on earth. Not on earth. All power has been given unto me in heaven and inside every believer, inside the earthen vessel of every believer. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and inside everybody who believes in me. And since you got that power, boys, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, so that the kingdom can come inside them. And do this then, boys, teach them to observe. Teach them to observe. Don't teach them to get saved. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And dudes, I'm always with you. Why? Because I'm in you. Somebody rescue me from myself here.
Well, that is the good news, brother.
That's the good news. The good news isn't I got money in my pocket. That ain't the good news.
You know, the word gospel appears only in the New Testament. It appears there 100 times.
Mm.
98 of those times it was translated from a Greek word. 2 times it was just inserted because they thought it belonged there. 9 of those times Jesus used the word that is translated as gospel. And 2 of those times are the same instance in 2 different books, Matthew and Mark.
Hmm.
And in Mark, you read, and I'm going to start at the back end of this little discourse with Jesus and his disciples. It's just like it was on the Mount. You know, Jesus went away and the disciples came to him and he taught his disciples. Well, in Mark chapter 14, the end of this little story, Jesus tells his disciples, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall out the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her, or of her. So something that lady did in this little story was so profound that Jesus told his disciples that wherever in the whole world this gospel, Jesus called it this gospel, is preached, what she did would be told. So there's something about that story that's pretty important, or Jesus wouldn't have made that statement. Or maybe Jesus was just lying again, and he didn't really mean that wherever the gospel was preached.
Well, Larry, if he was around here, the
thing is, what did that lady do that was so important that made Jesus make that magnificent of a statement?
Now she broke the most valuable thing that she had, most important thing that they had. She broke it, read it, gave it up for him. Hey, Isaiah 9, Jared, give me the Isaiah 9 real quick. Somebody else trying to jump in here. Good word, Larry.
The first time Jesus mentioned the words kingdom, when he came out of the desert, he had just been baptized, and he looked at the religious people. He said, repent. There's your good news for the kingdom. kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. If you want to know the first inkling of what the good news was, it was repent. You can't embrace the good news if you're not repenting.
Oh, it's so good, man. It's so good. It's so good. Who else? Somebody else jump in there.
Yeah, I wanted to say something. It's Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, two points. These churches, community centers. I'm seeing different versions of these life churches, just basically under different names.
Right, that's right.
And the second point is, as far as the rapture is concerned, I've been hearing about the rapture since the 80s. I remember John Hagee in 2001 screaming, look up, pray up, we're going up.
Yep. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Yeah, so everybody has literally invested their entire life in being teleported out of here while producing nothing.
Amen. Amen. Can I bring in an Old Testament? Am I allowed to talk about the Old Testament here? We love these guys, those Old Testament prophecy.
Right? Preach it, brother.
Hey, listen, fellas. They've told us. You know what they told us? Here's what they told us. They told us that Jesus doesn't really have all power. He doesn't really. It was a ruse. He was lying to you. He doesn't really have that. Remember what Jesus said? Caesarea Philippi, hey boys, who do you say I am? You say the devil's in charge or Jesus is in charge? You say the government's in charge or Jesus is in charge? Who are you saying is in charge? You saying the homos are in charge or is Jesus in charge? Well, here's the problem. See, Jesus is in charge because he put the kingdom in you. He's inside you. And he said, you're in charge. I'm in charge, boys. I'm deputizing you. Go arrest him. Go arrest him. I'm in the Old Testament. Sorry to do that to all you New Testament lovers. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born. This is what they call a prophecy. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Boy. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government. In other words, not government, of the increase of his kingdom, of the area in which he has influence, and in the increase of the area he is in control of, now the increase of that area and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And he did when Jesus hung on the cross and says, it is finished, boys. There's a new sheriff in town. This foolishness is going to end in the name above every name of the King of the Kings and of the Lord of the Lords. And we don't believe it. The problem's not the Lord. The problem's us. The problem's not Jesus.
Of his kingdom. Of his kingdom, of his, there shall be no end.
It's growing, man. No end.
No end.
Is he lying, Dale?
Think about it. If he created everything in the beginning and the cosmos and the universe has been created, okay, so that's finished. Of his kingdom, the only kingdom left that expands is in the heart of man, brother.
Amen.
That is the kingdom that God is dealing with right there,
brother. Oh, man. Where righteousness, peace, and the Holy Ghost. Where is it? It's Romans. I got to show this to you. Romans. Boy, I got some more stuff I want to. I got some more stuff. No, not fruits of the Spirit, Jared. Just type in righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness,
brother,
peace,
I love
and
you.
Joy.
Have to take my wife to work. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you, Dale. I'll see you. See you soon, man. There it is, Romans 14:7. Guys, just go to 14, Jared. Guys, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and enlighten you to the depth of this. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have even heard the things that God has in store for those who love him. To the depths and the breadths and the heights of all things, Lord. Go down and start about verse 12. Boys, I got to tell you something. I feel this. Gosh. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee. Now. Every knee shall bow to me. Wow. And every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with what you eat, now walkest thou not charitably. Don't destroy him just because of food. In other words, if your brother's offended, you eat pork, don't eat it. Don't eat it. If the Lord explains to you, don't eat pork, don't eat it. Obey what the Lord tells you. He's inside you. Look at this. 16. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God ain't about meat and drink and food and rules and regulations. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's what's not in the hearts of men. There's no righteousness in their heart. There's no peace in their heart. And there's no righteousness, peace, and joy. There's no joy in the lost world. And sadly, most of us here in the Christian world, we're thumb-sucking, dill-pickle-sucking dudes just like everybody else, complaining about the way things are instead of standing up and doing something about it. Yeah. Okay, come on. I know you're feeling it out there. I got a lot of stuff. I want to hear from you. Not only do I want to hear from you, there are people who are listening that want to hear from you.
Hey, Coach.
George.
You know, it's so clear to me. That's why when we get to really living on the kingdom side, that's where the conflict and persecution comes in. That's why in the mainstream church today, they just blend in with the world. So there's really nothing to clash with, unlike the kingdom.
Yeah, they got tired of fighting about the homos, so they accepted them. Right? They got tired of fighting divorce, so they accepted it. They got fired and tired of fighting against whatever. So they just accepted it. We'll just anoint it and make it part of the church. Jesus said it had nothing to do with the world. Love not the world nor the things of the world. And the church is totally consumed with the world. We watched that thing at Life Church. Remember the two circles we put up? Bringing Jesus into your life or leaving your life and coming into the kingdom? That's what's going on. You know, the sad thing is most people don't even know that it's possible. They don't even understand. We invite Jesus into our world. We never leave our world and go and get into his and live in his and every once in a while infiltrate the world. Become the salt of the earth. Yeah, Raj.
Yeah, but do you think we would be here if it weren't for the parishioners allowing this? I mean, I understand the pulpit's to blame, but many sat in the chairs and didn't demand the gospel. They let this come in too.
Jared, Google heaping up, having itching ears, heaping up teachers, having itching ears. Yes, Roger. Yes. But you know what it is? It's poor, weak, sissified leadership. And when they try to water down the gospel, if it's a true man of God, he ain't going to adopt his gospel to what the people want to hear. He is going to they get out of here. They ain't changed. Look at this here. Where this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall judge the quick and the dead. It is appearing in it and his kingdom. So it's everywhere. Kingdom's everywhere throughout the scripture. but we think it's some by and by, right? Watch this. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Not long happiness. Not long pleasure. Not with long joy. But with all long suffering. Why is it going to be long suffering? Because the people are insufferable. But pastor, teacher, leader, kingdom of God occupier, don't give in. Be long suffering. Because why? Because the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? See, the people's ears itch, and they seek out those who will scratch them. It's the people. And the leadership has fallen prey to it. The leadership has turned coward. Hasn't held the line. Hasn't been long-suffering. Go ahead, Roger.
No, I was just, I mean, I agree with the pulpit issue, but I just think, as you said, we let so much of this in instead of standing up, and I think the pulpit let so much of it in because they had the mortgages, they had the big buildings, and people would not come back if they heard this type of presentation.
That's right.
Of the full gospel.
Because they're heaping up for themselves teachers having itching ears. Jared, hang on up real quickly. Jared, go down the one that says Trump in the West, because I hurried through that yesterday. Here's another Macy's here today, too. Come on up here, Macy. Sit up on Grampy's lap. Because guys, you have to see this. You have to make this connection. Some people say, man, it shouldn't be nice to have a righteous man be president of the United States. And I say, really? What pastor do you know that you'd like to see president of the United States? That'd be scary to me. Oh, geez, he cried at me. Oh, that'd be scary. The average pastor today. Watch what, Jared, scroll this down for me a little bit. Show me what, I want you to see it again. I hurried through it yesterday. What Donald Trump said yesterday, Donald Trump gets, now whether he wrote this or not, he at least said it. The question is, ready, boys? Here's what the president said. This unrighteous heathen. The fundamental question of our time is whether the West has the will to survive. Do we have the confidence in our values to defend them at any cost? How about this? Do we have the confidence in the kingdom of God to defend it at any cost? Do we have enough respect for our citizens to protect our borders? Do we have the desire and the courage to preserve our civilization in the face of those who would subvert and destroy it? We can have the largest economies and the most lethal weapons anywhere on earth, but if we do not have strong families and strong values, then we will be weak and we will not survive.
Easy, coach. It's people over profits. If every time someone took out 30 pieces of silver, they got kicked where they deserve to be kicked, none of this stuff will be going on right now.
Amen. But hey, Vince, it's got to start with you and me, man.
You better believe it.
Hey, folks, I'm long-suffering, okay? I'm long-suffering. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it for the long haul. Because as I constantly say, it's about my children and my grandchildren. And are we going to have the courage to stand up and fight for what we believe? Or are we just going to roll over because it's more expedient? It's easier just to roll over. Just roll over. Then we have people on our side. When they hear what I clearly have was delineated, spelled out here today. You know what they'll say? Oh, be careful of that coach. He's a dominionist. What? What? As opposed to what? A secessionist? What am I supposed to be? I either believe in the God's in control or I believe the devil's in control. One or the other. They can't both be in control. And my Bible never tells me the devil's in control. Yes, he's called the prince of the power of the air. The prince. He ain't the king. He's the prince. There's a king above a prince. Wake up. Man, I need a nap. No wonder I couldn't sleep. No wonder I couldn't sleep last night. Somebody help me bring it home here.
That's a good point, Coach. We just need to realize this in each individual's heart, that he, the kingdom is in us, and the prince of this world does not rule over the king.
Heavens, no. They just tell us he does. They just tell us he does. The prince turns into a frog. The prince is a frog. We've elevated him to the king. God help us. Come on, man. This is your chance. Jump in. We got 2 minutes. Let me bring this home.
Well, you started off asking, what is the gospel? We determined that the definition of gospel was proclaiming or telling of good news or. But what is the good news we're to tell? The good news we're to tell, you got into that the other day and almost every day, is that there is a balance. There is such a thing as judgment. There is such a thing as righteousness. And we touched on today, or I did, that Jesus talked about this gospel. And Jesus said what this lady did will. He didn't say might be, or if it's in the sermon. He said what wherever this gospel is preached, what this lady did will be told. So what did she do? She provided the physical demonstration by her breaking that alabaster flask and pouring everything of her value that she had. She broke that flask and poured it on Jesus. And what that physical demonstration represents is the breaking the flask is the dying to self. You Amen. Don't make plans to put stuff back in the flask when you break it. When you die to yourself, you don't plan to go back to your old life. You burn those bridges behind you. That's part of the physical demonstration. The second part that what she demonstrated after the flask broke, everything that was in the flask went on to Jesus. After our lives break and we die to self, everything, every breathing moment of our lives should be dedicated to Jesus and the leadership of his spirit. And that's what was so important about what she did that needs to be told, not needs to be, must be told in order for the message to be this gospel. If that is not included, I don't care what you call it. If you don't include what that lady did and why she did it, if that's not included, it is not the this gospel Jesus was talking about, or else, once again, or else Jesus lied when he told his disciples that wherever it was preached, it would be told. So people have lost sight of what the Bible simply says, and they've made their own set of gospel. They've made their own way to present it. They made their own plan to take it to the world, and they have locked the Holy Spirit out of the system. That's where we've gotten to where we're at, because people made their own decisions about what the gospel was and when and where to speak it, and they neglected the simplicity of what the Bible tells us Jesus said about it.
For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.